أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Before we recite the 40 durood and salam, we'll just mention some of the virtues and benefits of reciting durood and salam upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran al-Majeed, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Verily Allah Ta'ala and His angels, they shower their special mercies on Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So O you people who believe, O people of Iman, convey mercies and salutations upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So urging the mu'mineen to invoke special mercies on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Ta'ala begins by saying that He and His angels convey their mercies upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is incumbent on all Muslims to pray for Allah Ta'ala's mercy to be showered on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because we cannot repay the favors that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has done for us. So the reason for expressing the command in this manner is that the believer should take pride in doing something that Allah Ta'ala and His angels also do. The word yusalluna is used with the following three meanings. Firstly, it means mercy. Secondly, it means dua. And thirdly, it means praise. So this is similar to love, which varies depending on a person being referred to. The love a father has for his son is different from the love that a son has for his father. Similarly, the love a son has for his mother differs from the love that the son has for his wife. So you get different types of love. So in the same way, the purport of the word yusalluna varies according to the person it is used for. When referring to Allah Ta'ala, it means that Allah showers His special mercies on a person. When it is used for the angels, then it means that they make dua for Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness on behalf of someone. And when it is used for the mu'mins, it means that they pray for Allah Ta'ala's mercy to be showered upon someone. And it also means that they praise someone. So the honor that Allah Ta'ala has bestowed on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this world is that Allah Ta'ala has elevated his status so that people take his name favorably and his deen will perpetuate until the day of Qiyamah. The honor that Allah Ta'ala will accord him in the year after is that Allah Ta'ala will allow him to make the greatest intercession when he will attain the position of the Maqam of Mahmud, and his virtue will shine above all others. So that is the benefit of reciting durood. And what are the virtues of reciting durood? There are many ahadith that show the virtues of reciting durood. And one is, we're going to inshallah recite this kitab, the 40 durood. But any durood a person knows, he can recite it. Even the shortest durood, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even that too, we should make a habit of continuously reciting it. Muslim Sharif reports that Hazrat Abu Hurairah says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah Ta'ala will send 10 mercies on the person who sends one durood upon me. The Riwayat al-Nasa'i also adds that the person's stages in the year after will be raised 10 times. 10 rewards will be added to his records of deeds, and 10 sins will be erased from his record of sins just by reciting one durood. Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud also reports from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the person who recites the most durood will be closest to me on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah bless us with this maqam. Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud also narrates that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a group of angels travel throughout the earth to convey the greetings of my ummah to me. That every person that makes durood, an angel takes it and conveys it directly to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also mentions that do not make your homes graveyards by not performing salah, and do not make my qabr and Eid by celebrating there. Rather, send durood to me because your durood is conveyed to me, irrespective of wherever you are in the world. Wherever you may be in the world, your durood is always conveyed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Since no acts of worship take place in the graveyard, the home should not be left without worship. Therefore, people should perform their nafil and sunnah salah at home. And making Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grave an Eid means that people should not visit his grave adorned in the finery. They should visit it with utmost respect and reverence. In another hadith, Hazrat Abdullah reports that Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar reports that when a person recites durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once, Allah Ta'ala and his angel, they send down 70, they invoke 70 mercies upon this person. Mullah Ali Qali writes that the above narration applies to reciting durood on Fridays, because the rewards of deeds tend to be multiplied during auspicious times. Nabi Akram sallallahu also mentioned that Friday is the best of days. It was on this day that Adam alayhi salam was created, and Adam alayhi salam passed away on this day. The trumpet will be blown on this day, and all creation will collapse when the trumpet is blown. So since Friday is the best day, send durood to me in abundance on this day, because your durood is now presented to me. Hazrat Abdullah bin Masood also mentions that I was performing salah when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived with Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. And as I completed my salah, I was in the sitting posture. I praised Allah Ta'ala, and thereafter I recited durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thereafter I started making dua. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw this. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me that ask, after he made durood, he praised Allah Ta'ala, Nabi Akram told him that ask, and whatever you ask, you will receive it. That is the barakat of the durood that was recited. In another hadith, Rasulullah was in the masjid when a person entered the masjid and he began performing salah. After his salah, he began making dua and he said that, "Oh Allah, forgive me and have mercy on me." So Rasulullah heard this, and Nabi Akram said that, "Oh person performing salah, you were hasty. Remember the next time when you're performing salah, and thereafter when you sit down to make your dua, begin by praising Allah Ta'ala as Allah Ta'ala deserves to be praised, and thereafter recite durood, and then ask what you have to ask." So let us remember this also. This is the time, this is the month of seeking from the pleasure of, from the treasures of Allah Ta'ala. So whenever we're making dua also, first start off by praising Allah Ta'ala, and thereafter we're reciting durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you recite Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala ashrafil mursaleen. That is the best way. First Alhamdulillah, you're praising Allah Ta'ala. Thereafter, wassalatu wassalam upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even when you're ending our dua, Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifoon, we praise Allah Ta'ala, wassalamun ala al-mursaleen, and thereafter we're making durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Fuzala bin Ubaid narrates that another person then performed salah, and after salah he praised Allah Ta'ala and he recited durood before he began his dua. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed this person and he said that, "O person performing salah, make dua, for verily your dua will be accepted." So this hadith teaches us that how to make dua. A person should commence by praising Allah Ta'ala and then reciting durood. The recitation of durood has a great effect in securing the acceptance of duas. In fact, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu used to say that a person's dua is suspended between the heavens and the earth if he does not recite durood. Mashayikh have mentioned that while a person may not be rewarded for other acts of zikr, durood is always rewarded. So sometimes a person is not rewarded, he does not know it is accepted, but durood is always rewarded. A person should therefore recite durood at the beginning and at the end of his dua. Allah Ta'ala in His magnanimity will not only accept the two ends of the dua, but also the content that is in between. So recite durood at the beginning, as I mentioned, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala ashrafil mursaleen. And when you end it, Subhana Rabbika, you praise Allah Ta'ala and recite durood also. In one hadith, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that whenever people participate in a gathering that is devoid of Allah's zikr and it is devoid of durood, the gathering will be a source of harm for them. Allah Ta'ala may punish them or Allah Ta'ala may forgive them. Hazrat Ali reports that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, A true miser is the one who does not recite durood when my name is mentioned. So whenever we hear the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make it a habit to recite sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Abu Zar reports that he was once with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the latter asked, "Should I not inform you about the worst miser?" So when the Sahaba asked as to who he was, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that the man who does not recite durood when my name is taken, he is the worst miser. As Ka'b bin Ujra reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once instructed the Sahaba to draw close to the mimbar. And when they did, we hear this hadith all the time with regards to Ramadan. And there is also virtue of durood in this hadith. So Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam climbed upon the mimbar, and as he took the first step, he said, Ameen. As he took the second step, he said, Ameen. And as he took the third step, he said, Ameen. And when after Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came down, the Sahaba said, Oh Nabi of Allah, when we saw you mounting the mimbar in such a way, we never noticed it before, that you said Ameen, you climbed the first step, second step, third step, you said Ameen. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereafter explained that when I climbed the first step, Jibreel Ameen came to me. And he said that curses be upon that person of my ummah, that this month of Ramadan comes, and he lets this month of Ramadan pass by, and he fails to gain forgiveness of Allah Ta'ala. So this month is a month of forgiveness, of seeking from the treasures of Allah Ta'ala. Ya baghi al-khayri aqbil. Caller calls out that, O seeker of good, come closer, come closer. Why is it in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Nabi Akram mentions that the doors of Jahannam are closed, the doors of Jannah are open, the shayateen are tied up. If you want someone to take maximum benefit from anything, then you'll try and make them comfortable as possible, in whatever it may be. If you don't want somebody to take maximum benefit, then we will put certain obstacles. But if you want him to take maximum benefit, then we'll take out whatever barriers, whatever obstacles there are. So here even the rebellious shayateen are tied up. Why? So now a person is left with no excuse. That Allah Ta'ala has opened the doors of Jannah for this person to seek from the treasures of Allah Ta'ala. And the rebellious shayateen are tied up. So this person has to fight his nafs. Many times a person still feels lazy to do ibadat, even this Mubarak month. Why is it that throughout the year now he was accustomed in following a slave to shaitan, becoming a slave to his desires. Now in the month of Ramadan comes, he still has that laziness in him. So to fight it, to punish yourself and tell yourself, no, I need to make this ibadat. I need to... Sometimes shaitan will make a person's delay, or the nafs will make a person delay. Then never mind, wake up for tahajjud. He intended to wake up at maybe 2 o'clock, half past 2. And then he puts the alarm off. He tells him, no, wake up at 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock becomes 4 o'clock. And before he knows it, is the time of Sari, and he doesn't have time to do it. So we need to fight ourselves and be hard on ourselves. And inshallah, whatever good we learn in this Mubarak month, whatever good we learn in the Itikaf, it will be a stepping stone for us to continue throughout the month, throughout the year, inshallah. May Allah give us the tawfiq. So that was the one, that curses be upon that person who this month of Ramadan comes and he fails to gain maghfirat, he fails to gain forgiveness, he just lets his month pass by. Inshallah, we'll recite the durood shortly, a few minutes, inshallah. And the second step, Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam climbed it and he said, Ameen. What is the reason behind it? That Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jibreel Ameen said that may that person be destroyed who he hears the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he does not say durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So severe it is. Who is making the dua? Jibreel Ameen, angel, the greatest of Allah Ta'ala's Malaika, such a huge, powerful, mighty angel. He is making the dua. And Nabi Akrim himself is saying Ameen. That Nabi, when the opportunity came to even curse enemies, Nabi Akrim didn't curse the enemies. بَلْ أَرْجُوا أَن يُخْرِجَ اللَّهُ مِنْ أَصْلَابِهِمْ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ وَلَا يُشْرِكُ بِشَيْئًا. So much of harm, so much of difficulty they caused him in Taif. And Nabi Akrim didn't curse them. He said that Allah Ta'ala must take out from their progeny such people who will worship Allah Ta'ala and don't ascribe any partners to Allah Ta'ala. But here Nabi Akrim Sassam is saying Ameen to the dua of Jibreel. And the third person, may Allah Ta'ala protect us, may Allah Ta'ala save us, the third Ameen was this, that Nabi Akrim Jibreel Ameen said that may that person be destroyed who finds one or both of his parents and they are old. And Allah Ta'ala has given him this. It is not a burden, it is a rahmat, it is a mercy from the side of Allah Ta'ala. That a person sees his parents reaching old age, but despite him witnessing them reaching old age, and he has that ability to make their khidmat, but he does not secure his jannat by making their khidmat, he becomes, instead of being a source of blessing for them, it becomes a source of difficulty for them, and he does not make their khidmat, and this has earned the wrath and the anger of Allah Ta'ala. Jibreel Amin makes dua, but dua against that person. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says Amin to the dua. May Allah Ta'ala protect us, may Allah Ta'ala save us, those whose parents are living, those of us whose parents are living. Let us ensure that we make their khidmat, and those whose parents have passed on, we make dua to Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala grant them the highest maqam and estate places in Jannat, and make our meeting place with them in Jannat, inshaAllah Ta'ala. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.